Could you get that to work?
After
mine feels
I did a bunch of bits. It gives me negative numbers. But negative numbers don't happen.
Yeah, I used to come over and just push it back to all positive.
No, what it is like I push it back. But like a negative plus, it just wraps around.
Yeah, right. That's like
can I sneak a peek at your book, Hillary? Glad you bring your book. It's so nice of you to do that for me.
Weird because like when it's like zero, it went from zero to something, and then sometimes it just gave you like two negative. So I had to.
Yeah.
I did a bunch of ifs.
So it turns the lights on when it's supposed to.
Yeah.
I don't understand. I can't get mine to do that. Like mine jumps all over the place no matter what I do. I can't get it.
Embedded.
Yeah. Like, even if it's just sitting still, like, lights are just all over the place.
Do you have it with you? Debouncing algorithm?
It's my car.
Implemented?
I don't know that that's the problem.
Do you have buttons in your seat?
No. That's, yeah, I don't think that would be the problem.
Not yet.
Yeah.
So maybe, like, do you have time before class?
I really gotta start working on this manual thing that's due tomorrow. I figure I got close enough, and I know generally what needs to happen, but I don't know why it's not happening, so...
3, 2...
Yeah, it's not 100%,
but... You can also have,
Yeah,
the hard part was finding the green.
Yeah.
The range.
Oh, trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all I did last night.
I spent a couple of hours doing that, and even when I thought that I had it right, it still wouldn't work. It's the same behavior no matter what I do.
What I did, how I did it was, like, I started tilting it, and gave it a read.
Yeah.
My problem is when I just have to sit there, the numbers are sinking in.
Right, and so that's my problem too.
Yeah.
Like, my numbers are all over the place when it's just sitting there.
Mine was a pretty good range.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could be your solar meter.
It's possible, I guess.
It's frustrating.
Yeah, I can't read
it.
Still have to do my Z.
Your what?
My Z. I did my X and my Y.
Oh, see, I just did the absolute value of all of them together, so that it would.
That's what I did.
Yeah.
Damn it. It's genius.
He wrote that at the bottom of our assignment sheet.
I used a go-to function. So, like, if it goes in this if, and it turns it on, it goes to check if it's...
Sounds like you put a lot more work in it than you needed to.
I did.
Well, good for you then, for trying.
Okay, that's good enough. Thank you, Hillary.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see. I heard someone come in. It's Stain. There's a homework coming back for you, sir. Well, I hope Austin's not sick. Okay, so today, first of all, I want to show you. Okay, what I need to show you is a run. Oops, what did I do?
Those are annoyingly expensive.
What, those Pomona cables? Yeah, that's correct. Ralph was sending me that, and Larry wants a bunch of them. Ralph is trying to figure out how to get them for a decent price.
Yeah, the digital app is lacking.
Yeah. Do you guys have a bunch of those? You used to have a bunch of cables and stuff at TSS.
I don't know how many of those specific kinds we have. We have
a ton of
probes. Just regular probes. Needle probes.
And like this, the end grabbers?
No.
Oh.
Needle
you mean like banana jacks or? Oh, you mean like needle? Oh, for meters.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good to know. You got a ton of those left.
Oh yeah.
Because I got a couple of those that are bad. Okay. Let's see. I need to. No, I don't want to go to discussion. I want to go to content. Okay. Notice under content, this is diode lab mix of circuits, which is for lab tomorrow. And so I thought I'd show you this so that you could kind of start thinking about it a little bit. Basically, what you're going to do next lab is kind of nice because you don't have to do a regular lab write-up. All you have to do is keep notes in your lab notebook this time. And what you'll do is you'll build two of these. You know, these ideas. The first one is a clipper circuit that clips at 1.4 volts and minus 0.7 volts. And, you know, and then test it out. Then the next one, you could design a DC controlled RF single pole, single throw switch. You can use to switch a small amplitude 2 megahertz signal from a 50 ohm source and a 50 ohm load. Then number three is you can design an absolute value circuit that as nearly as possible takes the absolute value of the voltage, the input voltage. And this circuit should work well below 0.7 volts, so you can't just use a bridge rectifier circuit or something. You probably need to look at op-amps. Op-amps can be your friend there. Or then number four, and that's the one really you need the time to think about, probably, you know, dream up your own diode circuit. If you have something you might want to do, you know, what kind of cool thing could you do with a diode or a bunch of diodes or, you know, diodes, resistors, and capacitors, whatever, right? So that's the lab that's coming up, next day, and you can start thinking about that. And Austin is here, so let me give you your homework back. Okay, so today what we want to do is we want to look at bipolar junction transistors. This is where the, last chapter was, starting the excitement, but this is now starting what we can, really do some cool stuff with these devices. And so, we can make amplifiers, we can make switches, we can make voltage regulators, we can make all kinds of cool stuff with bipolar junction transistors. And so, this is what you've been waiting for, probably. So it's nifty stuff. You can make op amps with bipolar junction transistors. So we need to understand how bipolar junction transistors work. These are the original type of transistor that Shockley and Bardeen and, what was the other guy? The guy over here that was a physics teacher at Whitman College. When I first started teaching here, he was still here. And I can't remember his name now. That's terrible. Anyway, three guys invented these transistors. They were the first transistors invented it, and they invented them at Bell Labs. And, it's turned around our world. It's changed things in a big way. Probably, even bigger than any of those guys expected. So,
Let's look at how one of these things work. Well, let me just draw one over here. I think we'll need a little bit of space for this. This is kind of a schematic representation, and what I'm going to try and do is explain the physics to you, okay? So that you can understand how this works. They're made up of three sections. The bottom section here is heavily doped N. So I'm going to put N plus there. What that means is there are a lot of electrons down here. So, you know, we've got a lot of carriers here. Yeah, and that's N. N material is got extra dopant that has, you know, the column 5. So it's the one with all the extra electrons, okay? So what it does, I mean, if you think about this, it's still neutral as far as, you know, charge, because there's also for every atom you put in that had a extra electron, it also had an extra proton. So it's not negatively charged or anything. But these electrons right here are available for conduction, okay? So in this material, primarily what conducts the electricity is the electrons, okay? Now, there is a tiny little bit of hole current also, because there's no way you can perfectly dope a piece of material all N. You will end up getting some impurity in there that will end up making it a little bit P. I mean, there will be a little bit of a hole or two here or there. But there'll be a many orders of magnitude difference in the number of holes and the number of electrons. Many more electrons. And we're doping this one heavily, which means that there are more than normal here. I mean, we made this a really good conductor, kind of, you know, by putting the plus. That's what the plus means. Plus means many N, okay? Heavily doped. This region of the transistor is called the emitter. Okay? And maybe that'll make sense once you see how it operates, why we call it the emitter. Then there's a thing here called the base, and it's a P region, and it's not heavily doped, it's just kind of regularly, ordinarily doped. And then we have up here, this is called the base, let me put that on first. And up here we have a region called the collector. And this is doped just regular N. So, you know, there'll be something like that. Okay? Make sense? Okay, so in some ways, it kind of looks like two back-to-back diodes, and that just, that seems kind of boring, right? You can't take and make a transistor like this out of two back-to-back diodes. So you just can't, because the way it operates depends on having this kind of a structure like this. So let me hook up some wires here and bias this thing. And what I mean by biasing it, I mean attach some voltages to it. I'll call this RB because it's hooked up to the base. I'll call this VB because it's hooked up to the base. Notice I'm putting little B, so big B. This is the total base voltage. Could have an AC and a DC component. And then I'll put a resistor up here. Since it's connected to the collector, I'll call that RC. And then I'm going to put a voltage here, which I'm going to call, I'll call this VCC, okay? And this is a DC voltage. DC, and it's much greater than VB. Okay, or not much greater, but greater than anyway, okay? Okay, so let's see what happens when we hook this thing up in this direction here. Notice I also drew the base region as kind of skinny. That's a little bit important in this whole story too, right? Because I don't want it to be too big. And that's what makes it so why you can't make two back-to-back diodes and hook them together and get the same kind of effect. So let's try and understand what happens with VB here, okay? So VB is going to, is it going to forward bias this PN junction or reverse bias the PN junction? VB is positive. You know, VB is greater than zero. Forward bias then, right? Because the plus is going to scare these pluses here, these holes this way, right? And it's going to attract all those electrons there, right? And so, you know, there's going to be a big migration of electrons north, right? And a tiny, a fair migration, some migration of holes south, right? Does that make sense? Okay, now we need to next stop and think about the collector base junction. Let me just write what we just figured out. The base emitter junction is forward biased. Okay, now what about the collector base junction? It is what? So we got a DC voltage here that is much bigger or somewhat bigger than VB, right? So let's think about it. That means this voltage right here is going to be more positive than that voltage there, right? So it's positive to minus, right? Plus to minus there. Does that make sense? Because this voltage is higher than this voltage. You know, we're kind of, this is high voltage here, medium voltage, ground, right? And so this guy is going to be reverse or forward? Is it reverse or forward bias? Top one. Collector base junction. Here's the collector, here's the base. What is this junction right here? Forward biased? But this is going to be plus here, and that's going to attract all these electrons, right? And the holes here, they're all going to suck right up to the edge here, right? And there's going to be a region that's going to be a depletion region there where there's no carriers, right? Does that make sense? So what is that? That's reverse bias, right? It's reverse bias because notice the polarity is the opposite of here, right? For forward bias, you need to connect the positive to the P and the negative to the N. Here I have the positive to the N and the negative to the P, right? Okay, so it is reverse biased. Okay, so now we have to figure out what's going to happen now that we've figured out what the biases are. I'm going to get you guys to help me out here. There's more guys in the class than there are Hillary, so Hillary gets to be a hole right here in the base, okay? So Hillary gets to figure out which way she's going. And all you guys, you have to think a little harder than Hillary, I think. She lucked out this time. You are these electrons down here, okay? Okay, now, the question I have for you is this. And you got to think about it carefully before you answer. Very carefully, okay? What I want to know is which terminal do you come out of? So here's the collector, the base, and the emitter. Which one, C, B, or E, do you come out? Okay? Now, while you're thinking about that, I'm going to make a little table here. I'm going to have the electrons from the emitter And this is going to be holes from the base. Okay. And and I will do one of them here. I'll just leave that. We could do electrons up here from the collector. I'll do that if you want, okay? But these two are the most important components here. Actually, this is the most important component, okay? So I gave all you guys the most important job to figure out which terminal are you going to come out, okay? Now, let me give you the voltages so that you can make your decision in an informed way, okay? Typical voltages. And you could probably figure this out if you thought about it a little bit. This is a forward bias PN junction. So this is about 0.7 volts, okay? Just like a diode, right? This guy right here, I'm going to say this voltage is about 12 volts. In fact, and I make your life easier, I'll say RC equals zero for now, okay? RC equals zero. So this is 12 volts up here. This is 0.7 volts right here, okay? Now remember, you know, especially you electrons, you know, your voltage is like a hill, right? And you guys are all like little balls. And you're going to roll down the hill and you're going to end up trying to figure out which spigot you end up going out, right? Does that make sense? Now, inside the semiconductor, you know, you might think about a ball. Well, a ball, which one he goes out kind of depends on how he bounces, okay? But inside this thing, these guys are ricocheting off. There's so many obstacles in there. They're ricocheting all over, right? It's not like there's a straight shot for anybody. So if you look at this and you say, well, okay, you know, this is going to not have to ricochet to go over here. Well, you know, that's no biggie. I mean, really, if you think about it, it's just as easy to come out this side as anything. I mean, you could even think about this, you know, this thing here is kind of doing the whole cap or something, and this doing, you know, both sides or something, or all the way around the belt, around the thing. If it was like this thing was the transistor, that's the base, it's connected all the way around, you know, the collector's up here all the way on the top, and the base is, emitter's all the way on the bottom or something. So you need to tell me now which way you're going to vote. I'll let Hillary vote first. She gets to vote. Which way are you going? Which one are you going to come out? You're one of these holes. Which way are you going to go?
That way.
Well, this is like a couple volts here or something, right?
Yeah. All right, I'm going to go down.
You're going to go down. So which way? Which terminal do you come out? Okay. This is an exit terminal. Okay, so she went out the emitter. Okay. Now, what I'm going to do for you guys, since there's only one of her, I could just put where she came out, okay? But for you guys, you're going to all vote, okay? And I want you to don't change your vote based on what everybody else votes. You know, just make up your mind now, and I'm going to vote, and I'm going to have, you know, I'm going to have the votes here. So there's collector, base, and emitter, okay? And I'm just going to tally up how many of you vote for each one, okay? Because in reality, any one of these guys could come out any terminal, right? Right? So, are you ready to vote? Okay. Any questions before you vote?
Does this affect my grade?
No, this won't affect your grade. Hopefully it affects your understanding of what happens in this transistor, though, okay? Which is more important than your grade. Okay, so I'm going to start out with collector. Okay, I've got Austin. Oh, wait, Austin and Travis. So, Mary, you got to vote for something, right? Are you going to vote for the... You don't know.
Well,
you're not.
I'm still voting for collector.
You're voting for... Okay, everybody for collector, hold your hands high. So I want to see... I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, I got 6 of you guys there. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, now for the base. Okay, all you rest of you guys that haven't voted, anybody want the base? Okay, so Alex is 1 for the base. Okay, and what about the emitter? Okay, Dane is going to go for the emitter, okay? Is that right? Okay, so we got a little bit of everything, right? And in reality, this is kind of like how it works. I mean, the ratios are probably better than this. They're probably more like 100 here, 1 here, and, you know, I don't know, something like, 1,000th or 1,010,000th over here, okay? Because, you know, I mean, that's kind of like going uphill for that electron, right? Okay. And what happens is these electrons, they're going to move toward the base. They're going to move into the base, in fact, right? But when they get to the base, they are minority carriers, okay? In other words, you know, you say, well, look, it's got to come out because it's a diode, it has to come out here. Well, some of them do. Some of them do. But most of them see the hill. You know, you got a tiny 0.7 volt hill, you got a big 12 volt hill there, man. I'm heading for the really good ride, right? You know, I'm going to keep going. Does that make sense? It's like, you know, sledding, and you're going to head. And so most of them go up here. Okay? And so if we think about it, in this scenario, there's a little bit of current here. I'm going to call this I sub B. Little I sub big B means the total base current. Okay? Now, that IB is made up of really two parts. The holes are always going to, basically, the holes come from an electron popping out here, leaves a hole behind, and those holes are Hillary, and they go down this way. Okay? Does that make sense? So that's, you know, you're going to get some current there. Okay? All those holes, every hole that hits over here, one of these electrons from this source pops into that hole, and that makes... You know, that was basically a thing that actually contributed to the base current, okay? Now, when we dope this thing, we dope this guy like 100 times more than that thing, okay? So, the emitter is, for every hole over here, there'd be like 100 electrons, okay? Now, those electrons, most of those electrons, you know, what are they going to do? They're not going to, I mean, well... Let's see here. Maybe I said this wrong. These electrons are going to go up here, and they're going to head all this way right here. The holes are going to come down here. They're going to pop, and the electron from this source went into that hole, right? I was pointing to the wrong side. I should have been pointing down here. The holes go down here. When they finally get to their destination, an electron from this source, well, could be from this source, pops in there too, okay? So... So these electrons, they head up that way, and they're going, and they go into the collector region. And, you know, the electrons in the collector region, they actually head this way too, right? But they are replaced with electrons from the emitter region. And so we actually get a collector current, which I will label this way. This is IC, that's the total collector current. And this IB is really... You know, electrons are going this direction, but we call the current going that way, right? So these electrons are coming out this way, the hole is popping out that way, and up here we have the electrons going out this way, which really is a collector current here, okay? So Carlos.
Does that imply that the collector current is going to be a lot bigger?
Yes, the collector current is going to be big. So we can say, you know, from Kirchhoff's current law, you can say... So if I put here, I don't know. I mean, we're going to have IC equals some number beta times IB, okay? Because beta is kind of like the ratio, kind of like the doping here to here. It has to do with the ratio, kind of like this ratio we had over here, right? And that gives you beta here, you know, beta, in this case, beta would be approximately 6, okay? in this case. Now, in most transistors, they design the beta to be a little bit higher. A standard beta would be about 100 or something like that. So IC is equal to beta times IB in this situation. And so if you think about that, that means a little current here, IB, a little base current, controls a big collector current over here, right? And so if I was to make this guy, you know, this VB, if I made him, you know, like say maybe 1.5 volts, but then I'd put a little AC wiggle on top of that 1.5 volts, okay? So I've got a little AC wiggle. So then this IB has got a, you know, some number here, right? With a little wiggle on top, right? So we'd have a collector current, which would be pretty big here, right? But it would also have a little wiggle on top, right? Which would be beta times bigger than the little wiggle over here, right? And when you have a little wiggle in the current, that's, you know, a little part going back and forth like this, right? It makes a voltage across that RC, right? And that voltage could be, you know, that's your AC output voltage. So you put in a little AC input voltage, we got a little AC output voltage, only it's a little bigger than what we put in. Does that make sense? So that's how these transistors can be made to amplify. Let me kind of try and draw you the IV characteristics of this transistor. So let's start out with the easy thing, the base emitter junction. And this is VBE. That would be a voltage like this, VBE. And then I'll put IB over here on the y-axis, IB. And what do you suppose? What do you suppose this thing looks like? This is zero right here. Norm, I mean, you can do it reverse biased and so on, and we'll talk about those options later, but this is the standard way of operating it with these kind of voltages on there, okay? This is where it's most interesting. So what would this curve look like here? Come on, be brave. Yes, Austin, you're right. It looked like a diode. It is just is a diode, right? So this is IB equals IB0 times E to the Q VBE over NKT minus 1. Okay, Shockley diode equation all over again, right? That was easy. No biggie. See, so what you learned last chapter is already helping you this chapter, right? Okay, now, so that's what the input, this is kind of the input IV characteristic looks like, okay? And so when you're doing, this is the input part of the thing, and over here is the output. When you're doing the input part of your amplifier, remember that was, you know, on the left-hand side with the R in and all that kind of stuff? Well, that becomes kind of like what we did before here, right, with the diode. If we make if this thing right here, VB, is a big DC plus a little AC, well, we've got the same characteristic, you know, the load line and the little wiggle, you know, and the little R diode. In this case, it's going to be, you know, a little R for the transistor, right? And, you know, it's all the same, okay? And we'll sit down and do that in just a little bit, but, you know, I just want you to kind of feel comfortable with your old friend here, okay? Or at least, you know, the guy you met yesterday, right? Okay, so now let's look at the output. That would be what I'm looking at, IC versus VCE. Okay, those are the output terminals, right? Collector to emitter. Those are like the output on the two port. I mean, if you want me to draw it, it's kind of like this. Here's your two port, and you're kind of looking at it like this. This thing comes over here, goes over there. By the way, I haven't showed you what the transistor symbol is. The symbol here is this. This is what we call an NPN transistor. This is the base, collector, and emitter. And you can kind of see that the arrow on the emitter points in the direction of the diode PN junction, right? The arrow and all the symbols for electronic devices, the arrow always points in the direction from P to N, in the direction regular current would flow, right? Okay. So, and this is called an NPN BJT. An NPN because it's NPN, right? Now there's also another one that you could make, a PNP, right? And when you do a PNP, instead this would be doped P plus down here, N and P right there. And basically what it does is it just reverses all the voltages. I would need to make VB less than zero here, you know, like maybe negative 1.2, and I'd make this guy like maybe negative 12. But it would work the same way, right? You're just swapping the role of holes and electrons, which means you just need to swap the polarities on your voltages. Okay, so this is NPN. NPN is probably used more often than PNP. And so here's the NPN transistor, and this is the output terminals. You know, this is collector, emitter, and base, and emitter, right? So you see the VBE is the input terminals, collector, emitter, or the output terminals. This is what we'd known as a common emitter amplifier. Actually, we can do things with a common collector amplifier or a common base amplifier as well. Okay, but so this is a common emitter. Well, I put my input over here, VB, between the base and the emitter, and my output would be between the collector and the emitter here. So like the negative. Right, yeah. And there would be a power supply and an RC here. This goes up to, you know, plus 12 volts or something like that. This is ground here, right? You know, I mean, this is ground. Ground is the bottom wire on your thing. And then there would have to be some kind of a bias source applied to DC bias to keep this guy, you know, or your input has to have a DC component or something to make this thing work. Okay, so now let's look at the output, the collector emitter circuit. So the important thing here is the collector current, so I'll put that right there. And it's going to be positive, and over here we'll have the V collector to emitter. Okay? That's, kind of analogous to this. I have the VBE here, so I have the VCE here, you know, an IB there, IC here, right? Okay, so let's think about this. When VCE is very small, then, you know, those electrons aren't really going to go sailing all the way through. It's not really downhill up here, right? So they all kind of start out right here, okay? That makes sense? And it's going to depend on how much base current I've got going in here is how much collector current is going to come out, kind of, right? So, you know, when VCE gets kind of big, we got this idea that this kind of looks like a current source. And these things are kind of flat like this, you know. This would be 1, 2, 3, 4. So this would be IB equals 1, a microamp or something, and IB equals 2 microamps, and IB equals 3 microamps. These guys might have a slight slope up, but they're kind of roughly flat here. IB equals 4 microamps. And down here, I guess I could put IB equals 0 microamps. In other words, if I don't put any current in here, that was not going to get any of these electrons up into the base, where they're a minority carrier, and therefore they won't go flying on through to the emitter, to the collector. Okay? And you can kind of see why you call it emitter, base, and collector now. Emitter is where the electrons are being emitted from. Collector is where they're being collected, right? And the base is kind of, in the middle. I don't know exactly why they call it the base, but they kind of do that. But these things right here will kind of come over here like this, and then they'll fold, bend over like that. And you just kind of connect the dots. And so they kind of look like that. So as you adjust the base current, it kind of moves these things up and down, You go from this line to this one, it just kind of moves up as you make the base current go up. And that gives you kind of a thing where, you could think of this as being a Norton circuit on the output, right? And, that diamond-shaped source there is dependent on the base current over here. So this would be kind of like a current amplifier, right? Make sense? The base current coming in goes through the RN, and that base current goes to a diamond-shaped source here, which, makes another current coming down, right? And that's going to, be beta times what went in, right? And so your current gain is about beta. And, of course, if you can make a current amplifier from it, remember we had the equivalent models for all the other ones, right? If you just think about whether the input was a voltage or a current, then you can change to the other models. So you can use this for not just amplifying current, but, voltage or transconductance or transresistance. But the most natural way to look at it is a current amplifier. So, other questions? Yes, Carlos.
What would be a good use for transistors? I know that they're used everywhere nowadays, but...
Yeah, right. Well, we're talking about using it as an amplifier here, right?
So, current amplifier.
Yeah, you can make a controlled switch as well. In fact, if you think about this here, you could do this. If we made this voltage here, like 5 volts or something, so, suck a bunch of current in here, right? And then that would, suck a lot of current down there, right? And with this resistor here, if that resistor were large enough, then this voltage drop right here would be getting pretty big, right? And this voltage is fixed at something, right? So that means this voltage is going down, right? And it's not going to go below zero. It's still going to have to be a tiny bit above this thing down here, right? Otherwise, there wouldn't be any current going through there, which would then, of course, raise this back up, right? But basically, you've got a kind of like a logic inverter here. You put in a high voltage here, you get, a low voltage there, and that's kind of like a digital switch, right? And actually, you could do that. Like, for example, if you want to take your logic circuit and you want to drive a mechanical relay, an electromechanical relay. Do you guys know what an electromechanical relay is? You can buy them. They're pretty cheap. They're just a little electromagnet. You guys have probably made some of those. You take a nail and wrap a whole bunch of wire around it, and then you put it to a DC or a voltage, and it becomes like a magnet, right? So you have one of those gadgets, and then you have a little steel bar that when you put the turn the magnet on, it comes down. It's working against a spring usually, so it gets pulled down, and when it pulls down, it pulls the switch closed or open, right?
So like when you put current through the magnet.
It'll suck that piece of steel down against the spring, and that will close the switch. And then once the switch is closed, then, you got a switch closed. If you want to open it, you just stop the current going through it, and the spring pulls the little thing back up, and now your gadget is off. And so what you would use an electromechanical relay for is probably switching something that was high current. Like, in our hot tub at home, there's some electromechanical relays in there. And why are they using relays? Well, it's because there's a 6 kilowatt heater in there, so it's 240 volts at 30 amps. okay? And that, you know, that draws a lot of current. And so, you know, finding a solid state device that would switch that amount of current, like a, you know, a BJT that would do that, would be pretty expensive, okay? But you could make a little BJT switch that by doing this. If you just take your BJT like this, and then you put your relay coil up here like this to some VCC. This is the relay coil. And here's your switch for the relay. Okay. So when you make this guy go high, it puts a bunch of current through here, right? Which then makes a lot of current come down through there, right? And it turns on the relay. So click, it just clicked in, okay? Now, whenever you design a circuit, you need to think about every possible thing that would happen, right? So now I've got, you know, I've got a number of amps going through here to turn on this electromagnet here. Now I want to turn the thing off. Are you ready? So what do I do to turn it off? I take this voltage and put it to zero, right? If I put it to zero, that makes this current zero, which makes that current zero, right? Right, so we just kind of tried to open the transistor, right? Now, this thing here, that's an inductor, right? Probably a big old one, right? Now I've got a whole lot of DC current going through there, right? It's heading through there, right? It's trying to. And I tried to stop it, right? The inductor and I are having a fight. And you know, it's really the transistor and the inductor are having a fight. And you know who's going to win? Yep, the inductor just won. And your transistor's toast, okay? Why is that? Remember, V equals LDI dt, right? And so this voltage at the collector just got incredibly big because the current stopped, right? So all this, you know, all that charge that was going down the inductor piled up right here and made a very big voltage, V equals LDI dt. You know, DI, you tried to change I instantly, and boom. So we just toasted our transistor. So how can we fix it? Buy another one. Okay, we'll buy another one. First thing, I'm going to buy another one. But before I hook this other one in, I just paid $5 for this new transistor. I'm not going to stick him in there like a dodo and do it again, right? What do I do to save that transistor? Yeah, that's one possibility. That's one possibility. And that would work good. But think about last chapter. We used a diode, just to give you a hint. We could put a diode in here that would provide relief for that transistor. When this voltage gets really big, it's going to get much bigger than that thing for sure, right? Yeah, good idea. So we'll just do it here. Austin's got an idea. We'll just put him like this. Okay, and now there's a place for that current to go. And my transistor doesn't blow this time, okay? And this diode doesn't do anything normally because he's reverse biased, right? Ah, okay. So don't forget this diode, okay? When you use this is a very useful circuit, but don't forget the diode, okay? Embedded? Yeah, you did, huh? Oh, yeah, uh-huh. Well, cool. See, so now you're figuring out stuff you've done before. So that's why we did that. Okay, well, have a good day. I'll see you tomorrow. You know, think about your lab and do some diode stuff.